All right, everybody. When me and Matt originally recorded our podcast, it was before the Blackhawks win versus the Philadelphia Flyers. Obviously, we can't always record at right after games. So the Blackhawks played the Flyers last night, beat them 3-1, got goals from Gustafson, Taser, and DeBrincat. Get Gustafson back in the lineup. We haven't seen him for quite a while. And probably this is probably going to be one of the last times that we see him. We've been getting a lot of Regula and Vlasic, and it's good because these guys need all of the experience that they can get. They're going to be going into the playoffs with Rockford, you know, after the season's done. But they're in the big show right now and getting some much needed experience. So Taser had a goal and assist. He had a really nice goal coming out of the penalty box and shooting low and left on the goalie, getting a goal. Barry Morrow's actually had a really good point yesterday when he was talking about how because goalies are going into the butterfly so early that it's opening up spots by the feet and the post, and that since they're going down so early that it's opening up this area, and that's exactly where Taser shot. He's typically a five hole shooter, but looks like he, you know, might be aiming for this area because apparently this area is open more now because of the style of butterfly that modern day goalies play. So you know, shooters are going to find areas to shoot and they're going to look for areas to score, which is really interesting. DeBrincat had a really nice goal from Kaner, you know, all the way across ice pass to shoot him up for a one timer, and it was a beauty. DeBrincat is obviously, you know, there's some talk on whether he's going to want to sign an extension with the Blackhawks because they're going to be going into, you know, a full rebuild. Kyle Davidson said that big contracts are contrary to what you want to do in a rebuild. I think that they need to sign this guy. Me and Matt will talk about this a little bit later. And, you know, I think that it should be a priority. Taves and Kane, I think with their compete level, even though that the Blackhawks are out of it, and you know we're going into the off season, and these guys are playing like, you know, they're playing for something, and that's good leadership on them, and it's great to see because with these guys, you know, how much they've won, what they've done, they could easily call it in, and they're not doing that, and it's pretty great to see. They're showing these young guys on how to be a professional and what to do, and I think that they still have a lot of worth, especially Kaner. And, you know, Taves, to his own right, has a lot of worth as well. He's not putting up points like he used to, but recently he has been putting up some goals and getting some assists and putting up some offense for this team. So hopefully he's finding his scoring touch, can get a good offseason, and lead this rebuild, this Blackhawks rebuild in a way that can be beneficial for the team. And, you know, and still he could still have his cake and eat it too. So I'm going to throw this off to the podcast with that me and Matt had recorded. And here we go. Welcome back to the Chicago Tomahawk. I'm Mike. I got my line mate Matt with me. And today we're going to go over the Blackhawks' last game, and we're going to go over some NHL news, especially as we're getting into the playoffs, the playoff race, and how things are going to start, how they're going to start panning out. So, Blackhawks played the Sharks Saturday night. It was ugly. A 4-1 game. I mean, it was just an ugly game, to be honest with you. The only bright spot that we had was a nice goal that Tyler Johnson shot from a battle that Taves won in the corner. Impressive pass to Johnson, and Johnson buried it in. And to be honest with you, man, I would say that Johnson was competing on Saturday night. He was out there, dude, and he was trying to score. You know, he was trying to make a difference out there, and I think that he did. Did you notice Tyler Johnson on Saturday, Matt?
Yeah, he was like one of the only guys I noticed. Taves had a good game. I think Lankinen's still shaky, really. Yeah. You know, kind of fishing in the crease, moving around too much and overplaying shots. But yeah,
I like
Johnson.
That. Fishing in the crease. I like fishing, that.
Yeah, just moving all over the place. Flopping like a fish. But I thought Tyler Johnson was a natural centerman. would honestly like to see him play with Kaner and DeBrincat next year. If, you know, everybody's back, that'd be great. I'd like to see him a healthy full season with those guys, and then it would be really interesting.
Yeah, you know what? There lies the problem. I like Tyler Johnson. I actually kind of like him on that line with Taves, because if Taves gets kicked, Tyler Johnson has the ability to win faceoffs. Actually, Tyler Johnson has the ability to consistently win faceoffs. Strom can only play on the Kane and DeBrincat line. That's the only place he's good at. And it's the only place where he can be productive at. So if we have Dylan Strome next year and we sign him, the only place he's going to be is on that Kane line. Do you see him, you know, contributing on any other line?
I don't know, man. Who knows with Davidson? He might even say, you know what, you're asking for too much here. I'm just going to let you go. But like you said, that's like the only, you know, place he could play. He needs talent around him to be successful.
Right.
And it's just this year proved it, though. Half the season proved it. And but you know, I think Johnson deserves a shot, though, man. I mean, this guy was playing on the fourth line in Tampa. That's how good Tampa was. But he was still putting up good numbers.
He was. I've always liked him. Originally, he was slotted between them. I don't think he had enough time to really get some chemistry between those two dudes. But I do like him on that line. Strome has gotten into my good graces because he has been productive on the second half of the season. But the only problem that I do have is that if he's not playing with DeBrincat or Kane, he's not productive. And that's a problem because DeBrincat is a top player in the NHL. Obviously, Kaner is a generational player. If this guy can't play with the generational players, you know, that's a problem, man. I bet if you slotted me into that slot, I could probably get some assists on that DeBrincat-Kaner line, because those guys are just that good, man. You know, moving forward, I would like to see, I'm really curious to see what happens with Dylan Strome, because he can be productive. Who knows? Maybe he's has a good summer. Maybe this has been the, you know, the confidence booster that he's need, that he can contribute in other spots. But I just don't see it happening. You know, it just seems like this team is just ready for the season to end. We've got three more games. Kaner and the Cat had great seasons. You know, pretty much the only bright spot of the season. Also, I thought Brandon Hagel was, but he's now on Tampa. And I think that with the playoffs coming, he's going to be a playoff animal. He's just the type of player that they need. Actually, probably an upgrade for those guys. Seth Jones had a really good season as well. Kaner, 26 goals, 65 assists, and 91 points as of right now. The Cat, 40 goals, 36 assists, 76 points. And something I wanted to mention that Matt's got here is Seth Jones, 5 goals, 46 assists, and 51 points. His 46 assists are the highest that he's had, a career high. And that just goes to show you how good of a player that Seth Jones can be, and a contributor that he could be, that on this shitty team that we've had this year. And it's unfortunate that I have to say that he's hitting career highs in assists. Imagine, you know, him playing on a team that's primed and ready to go. You know, there are three players that we're going to need next season. It's going to be Kaner, DeBrincat, and Seth Jones. I'm a pretty big Jake McCabe fan. I think that he's left out to dry a lot, and he has to do a lot. Kind of like what happened the other day with Vlasic not being able to keep that puck in the zone, and then end up being a 2-on-1 where they score on him. You know, McCabe didn't really have a shot there, and I don't think that really gave Lankanen a shot as well. So Matt, what do you think about, say, McCabe and Seth Jones this year? How do you, like, what are your kind of just outlook on these guys going into next season?
I think McCabe has been better, like, the last couple weeks. He looks like the guy we signed for, what we wanted out of him. He's
right.
He's playing mean. He's actually putting up some, I think he's got a couple goals, actually. Yeah, he does. A couple points.
Yeah.
I mean, that's shots. What you ask for a stay-at-home type of dude, but I think he, like, in a sense, is like Dylan Strome. I think he needs to be with a guy like Seth Jones, a good guy. And I think that's where we'll find success with him. I don't really like, we've talked about this. I don't understand. Half the season he was with Connor Murphy.
Right.
They're the same type of players. And So, yeah, that works, you know, but I mean, Seth Jones needs a guy that's going to be responsible.
Right.
And I think Seth Jones was with Calvin DeHaan. I'm nothing against DeHaan, but I think of him as a kind of a two-way type of guy. He'll skate it up. He'll take some chances and everything. But I like a guy like Jake McCabe who's, you know what, get it to the red line, get it deep. You know, make the smart pass on the breakout. Play, do your job. And I think he needs a guy like Seth Jones to take chances. Like it's almost like a Seabrook Keith type of thing. They need each other to be successful.
To be the best.
You took Siebes away. Look at Duncan Keith. He wasn't that good last year. He's still a great player, one of the best of all time. But
that's because of Siebes. Yeah,
you need a guy like Siebes to carry it. And I think Jake McCabe and Seth Jones need each other. And I can't believe our coaching staff doesn't see that.
Yeah. You know, the problem that I have is that I think it was the last podcast I mentioned that, you know, Kyle, I don't know if it was Kyle Davidson or if it was Danny Wirth, but somebody put it down to Derek King that they didn't want anything changed with the system when they brought him in. And I don't know if that's because the guys are used to it and they didn't want to shake things up too much, which I highly disagree with because of how much it didn't work. I think that plays a role in some of the probably frustrations and the lack of success that we had this season with the players, because they're playing in a system that didn't work. It was doomed from the start. It was doomed as soon as they put it in with Colladin. And I think that really hindered a lot of players, probably Kirby Dach, to be honest with you, playing in this broken system. I think that was a problem especially as you mentioned, McCabe, you know, probably the last 2 weeks looking like the player that we signed him to be. I think that's due to this terrible system these guys have been, what we found out now, forced to play in from that Chicago Tribune article that I read. So next year, we could be looking at a completely different system, probably something that suits Kaner and probably helps, well, I would imagine would probably help Jonathan Toews as well with his responsibilities on the ice and maybe trying to get him, back to a, you know, being at least producing at a decent rate. He seems to be playing better now at the end of the season as he was earlier than he was, you know, trying to come back from that injury. He started to play really well. And then he had that concussion. Concussion was over, you know, he wasn't playing well, and now he's starting to get back into it again. It makes you wonder if this guy is going to retire or if he's really looking to be here through the rebuild. So, you know, with that being said, you know, Davidson hasn't said much about his plans with DeBrincat, and with the Blackhawks fans wanting him locked up, you know, he's going this summer, man, you know, he's going to be getting that big contract. And, you know, maybe the fans want his to throw the C on his chest. You know, you never know. I don't see that happening until Toews leaves or Toews is retires. This isn't the same as in the Kings organization, what they did with, what's his name, man?
Kopitar and Dustin Brown.
Brown, man. You know,
yeah,
I mean,
you're right. You're right.
I thought that was a shitty thing to do. He was playing on the fourth line, you know, but he did turn it around after that, and they gave it to Kopitar. You know, Toews, I don't think he doesn't deserve that. I think that he's been a good leader to the team, and he's been a good leader to a lot of the guys on there. He's been there from the beginning, and I think that it would be a bad idea to take the C away from him, considering everything.
Quite a bit.
Everything he's done, you know.
Yeah.
So Matt's opinion, we don't know how DeBrincat feels. He may want out, but I would like to see him take that Dylan Larkin route, stay the course, develop with young talent, and be the face and leader of the franchise. 40-goal guys, they do not come easy. Franchise needs him. A draft pick prospect only has hype, as you could see with Dylan Strome. There's no guarantees. DeBrincat has proven. Actually, these are really two very, very good examples of Dylan Strome and Alex DeBrincat. Dylan Strome was a highly touted prospect, drafted number 3, I believe, and we could see who he is. And look at DeBrincat. He played with Dylan Strome and Connor McDavid in the OHL. McDavid leaves. They think that his production is going to go down. His production actually goes up comes into the league. He's undersized, drops in the draft a little bit. He gets drafted and by the Blackhawks and look where he is. We have a perennial 30 to 40 goal scorer. And even on a down year, I think he scored, 32 goals. So,
yeah, he's always hit 20. He's always been over 20. That's the goal scorer right there.
Yeah. So we need him. I think that he fits in on this team. Kaner fits on this team. Taves can lead this team into the rebuild, and then I'm sure he's going to retire, and then that's going to be given to the Cat. If Kane is still here, I highly think they would be given to Kane, even if it's just for 1 year. Just out of respect for a guy who shows up every single day, plays every game, and has really given his soul to this franchise. I think that he would deserve the C for a year if he's still here. So what do you think, Matt?
Well, about the captain?
Yeah.
Yeah, like you were saying a couple minutes ago, with Dustin Brown and Kopitar, it is kind of weird. Like, Dustin Brown was the first captain to ever hoist the cup in L.A., and, they throw it off and they give it to his good friend Kopitar. It's like, come on, I just got two cups here for us. Gretzky couldn't even do that right. As captain, But it does happen more than you think. I remember Mike Modano was captain with the Stars. And they took his C off and gave it to the young Brendan Morrow, who was pretty good player in his day. I mean, he didn't really last as long as Modano, but it's surprising. But I wouldn't be surprised with a new GM and maybe a new coaching staff. They might want to, kind of put their footprint in on their plan and stuff and say, hey, you know what, Taves, we love you. We know what you've done for us, but we're going to go with our new captain and we're going to build for the future. I could see that. But like you said, it would be pretty cool to see Kaner get a C if he's, sticking around longer than Taves.
Yeah.
But, dude, I just got this bad feeling about DeBrincat not wanting to be a part of this.
Really?
And I just get the fear Stevie Y is going to grab him because he's a Michigan boy.
Yeah.
And Stevie Y is good at grabbing talent. He knows, he knows NHL players very well. He could build a team. He's about to build another good team. That Tampa team is his team. But I just get a bad feeling like he's going to say, hey, I'm going to offer sheet him, or I'm going to give the Hawks a bunch of first round picks and maybe a good couple prospects. And I want him to be with Dylan Larkin, because Dylan Larkin is more like the Taves. And then he's got his shooter kind of, I think DeBrincat could score 50.
I think so too.
You give him, Kaner is a great passer, but you give him another good passer, I think he could score 50 for sure. But I just get that bad feeling that Stevie Y is gonna try to steal the Cat from us, which would be devastating for me.
You know what, man? Unless he offered $12 million, I think that the Cat would stay.
Well, that's the thing. Detroit has a good up-and-coming team. They have cap space. The team's well-managed with money. I think Dylan Larkin is making $6 million next couple seasons. I mean, they got Tyler Bertuzzi, who's making like $5 million. There's no really high-paid guy there.
Yeah.
And I just feel like, oh, man, I hope it doesn't happen. I hope DeBrincat signs July 1st. I don't even care if it's $10 million for 8 years. I'm fine with that. I mean, he deserves it. He's a 40 goal scorer back to back, right? I mean, this is the guy that you want to build your team around. You let a guy like Jeremy Roenick go, your team goes to shit for the next 10, 15 decade? Years. So, yeah. So, I hope Davidson has a plan, and I hope he's, kind of gives the fans a little like hey, this is our goal. We want to sign this kid. Like, usually you hear that from GMs, like, hey, our job this summer is to get an extension for this guy.
Right.
And we haven't heard anything. He's real tight-lipped about it. And I just wish he'd give the Hawks fans a little shed of, some light on the end of the tunnel to, hey, there's hope here. It's not going to be like a long, no-name guys like we don't own our team for the next 3 years.
Well, you know,
he needs some elite talent.
At the same time, he probably hasn't had any of these conversations yet. You know, we still have 3 games left in the season, and there's going to be end of season interviews, with the players, and he's going to let them know, what he sees and, going forward. And from what I've heard, he's a pretty upfront, an honest person. So we'll definitely hear about it. From what I see from DeBrincat, I think that he's going to want to stay. I think that he is a, you know, blood and guts type of guy. Yeah, he is from Michigan. I do see that. But unless he gets offer sheeted like $12 million, you know, would you pay $12 million for DeBrincat? Dude, that's Connor McDavid money, man. This dude's not putting up 100 points a year.
Well, look at Toronto. They paid Matthews $13 million. He's scoring 50. He's about to score 60. DeBrincat's right there, man. He's right there. I know Patrick Kane's on his team, but if you're going to get 5 first round picks, because that's what he is. He's an elite talent. He's a high, or I think they go by age and they go by, you know, obviously numbers and stuff.
Right.
And salary. And I think if you're over a certain number, it's 5 first round picks you get.
Really?
I just don't see Stevie Y wanting to give up his future for that. Right. But I could see him maybe, hey, we're going to give you a first round pick for this year, next year, and a prospect for DeBrincat. And I don't know if Davidson would take it.
I don't think that's enough. We got 2 firsts for Hagel.
Well, yeah, that's true. I mean, but if, say, DeBrincat, it's not going well, like, hey, I don't want to be here. He's a restricted free agent, I believe, and he doesn't have to sign anything. And you might see a team, just a sneaky team, throw an offer sheet in. Like, you know, I what was the last offer sheet? I believe it was the Hurricanes to that Kotkaniemi guy, which was insane.
$6 million.
And then the year before it was that Sebastian Aho, who's a really good player. He's a point of game type of guy. They offered him $9 million. I think that guy did him a favor.
Yeah.
I think I believe it was the Canadians again. Both teams were involved again. I think Bergevin did the Hurricanes a huge favor because that guy could have easily been getting $10, $11 million a year. So yeah, it's going to be interesting. I hope they can get it done before all that crap happens, because that'd be the ideal thing to do.
Yeah, I definitely think that they're going to talk about it and try and get it knocked out this summer. And I think that they're going to try and get Kaner and Taves knocked out this summer too, what they're looking to do, you know?
Yeah, you know what? As for Taves, man, I think Taves needs a good summer off. Stay away from the rink. Stay away from your hockey bag. Go to the lake, go on your boat, go skiing, whatever he does, fishing, and don't think about hockey at all. Reset yourself, come in with a good attitude at training camp, and, you know, just enjoy your last possible year of even playing. You know, maybe he'll want to go home and play in Winnipeg one season. Who knows? A lot of guys do that. But just have a good season, have a good off season, and just enjoy yourself. Just watch some baseball or whatever. Yeah. I know he's an outdoorsman and stuff. So
yeah, he is.
I know I've seen a couple of his social medias. He does that cool wake surfing thing. I don't know if you've ever heard of that. It's pretty sweet. So just don't hurt yourself. Just have fun and reset, and, you know, come back with a better attitude. I think it's just been a long year for him.
Right. Getting,
you know, there's people are angry and seeing your buddies get traded and losing and losing and losing. It's hard. It's just bullshit. You just need to not think about it. Put your phone away and just enjoy your lake house and have fun.
So the Preds and the Stars, and Knights are fighting for the last 2 wild card spots. We got a dogfight, and after the grind, the wild card number 2 spot will face a powerhouse Avs team. So between the Preds, the Stars, and the Knights, I think the Preds and the Stars are going to make it in. The Blackhawks play the Knights on Wednesday. I think that the Blackhawks are going to spoil the parade, the party for these guys on Wednesday, just because they might just be party poopers this season, because they did it to the Sharks. They knocked them out of playoff contention, and they might do it to the Knights. So I see, you know, man, I can see a Preds team, man, giving the Avs a really hard time.
Well, if they make it, I mean, right now they're losing to Minnesota 4-3 going into the third period, and UC Saros is on the bench. So I just don't understand that. You're doing Vegas. You're giving them hope, and that's not what you want to do. But as for your last statement with the Knights, it's like, hey, we took Fleury from you, and now we're going to screw you again. Like, you know, we're going to play the spoilers. So.
Yeah.
And who knows? There's been a lot of Robin Leonard drama going on. They're saying that he's really hurt, and the coach doesn't know anything about it to the media. He goes, oh, I plan on dressing him, so I hope he's not hurt. So it makes you wonder, like, what the hell is going on in that organization?
Oh, my gosh, man. You know, what a nightmare, to be honest with you. It just seems like, you know, at the beginning of the season, Leonard was very outspoken on his Twitter account. And, you know what, I haven't heard much from him recently. Have you heard anything from Leonard?
No, I think he actually deleted his account. I think that he got sick of the noise from Twitter. I know he's got a lot of support from Twitter. I know the hockey Twitter loved him. I mean, we followed him on our personal, our Tomahawk page, and we always would comment to him. He's just a good dude, man. He's the voice for the players, and he'll call out bullshit from, you know, the NHL, certain teams, owners, all kinds of that stuff. And you know what? Maybe he just got sick of it, and for his mental health reasons, he had to delete it.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. And you can kind of makes you wonder, because if this guy is really hurt and they're dressing him, like, what do you gain from that? Like, what if your goalie goes down and he has to go in injured? You know, is that really what they want for him to get even more injured?
What about next year?
Right.
I mean, you need the guy. You got rid of Fleury, and who's your goalie?
Supposed to be their number one guy.
You paid this guy. Yeah. I mean, take care of him. If he's hurt in the playoffs, don't play him. Because if he re-aggravates something or makes it worse, what if you lose him forever? You're gonna get a lawsuit.
And you know what's crazy?
Robin Leonard, he'll take it to the league, man.
He will, 100%. He was supposed to be their guy for this moment, and they don't have him. Their window is closing fast, man. You know what? There isn't really a tomorrow for this team.
No, and you know, like, I give them credit. They went all in. They got Jack Eichel. They got Mark Stone. They got the two best players each deadline. Well, not the deadline, but they went for two really good players from two franchises. They even got Max Pacioretty, I believe, and he's another former captain. They got Stone, who's a captain. They had Max. They had Eichel. These are three good NHL players, and then they had some decent misfits that they picked up, you know, through the expansion draft. Still, Marchessault, I believe. The other Carlson, who actually scores goals, but this year he hasn't scored goals.
Yeah.
You know,
and he was a 40-goal scorer.
Yeah, he was. And they paid him big bucks. They got some big name defensemen, Petrangelo, who, you know, I'm never going to like because he's a Blue. You know, they have Shea Theodore is another good one. McNabb. I just didn't get the Fleury. Why? I think it's the coach, and the hockey gods are smacking him back, because this guy got him there. He won the Vezina for you last year, and to start Leonard the first game, that's insane, dude. Because he wants Leonard to be his goalie. It just makes you wonder, like, are they running this guy out of town on purpose? He won the Vezina. It's just crazy. So everything that's happening to them, they deserve it. I mean, they created their mess, and now they're going to pay the price. I don't think they're going to make it.
Yeah, I don't think they are either. And to be honest with you, does that really look like an organization that you want to go and play for, Matt?
No, if I sign a 4-year deal to play with you, I want to stay there 4 years.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to play one season and get like Paul Stastny, right?
Yeah.
He signed a 4-year deal with them. The next year they trade him to the Jets. It's like, what the frick? If I wanted to play with the Jets, I would have signed with them free agency, you know?
Right.
It's crazy. That's just them. They're mismanaging their cap, and they gotta open everything up. They gotta move guys to keep certain players, like Alex Martinez, the defenseman from the Kings, two-time Stanley Cup champ. That's why Fleury's gone, because they wanted this guy. They wanted a solid top four. They got it. They had a solid top six forwards, but now look at you created a hole in your goaltending. And Leonard, he's a great goalie, great guy, but he does get hurt a lot.
Yeah, he does.
Fleury does not. So I think they made a mistake. I think Fleury's more athletic, and he fits with that team.
Do you think that Robin Leonard is just a elite number two goalie?
I think he's a one. Oh, I think he's a starting goalie. I don't consider him elite, but I think he's good enough to be a starting goalie.
What I mean is that because of his injury issues that he has, he's always had them.
Yeah.
Is it obviously he cannot take the grind like say Vasilevsky can playing, you know, 50 games a year or something, you know.
Yeah.
Do you think that it would be a good idea to have this guy as just what I mean by elite second, you know, like a second string goalie is that he could be a number one starting goalie on any team, but he has injury issues, so he can't put that kind of workload in. So he has to be a number two goalie.
Yeah, like the 1B.
Right.
You know, you got your 1A, 1B. Yeah. Yeah. I think he peaked with the Islanders when he was very good. I think he had like 30, 40 wins that year, and they ended up letting him go. Then yeah. He signed with the Blackhawks, and he was very good with the Hawks. I think if we didn't have him in net, we would be terrible. He kept us in a lot of games. He almost played like Ray Emery. You know, yeah. He would just win games, grind it out, and just make more saves than the other guy. It would be like 3-2, his wins, 2-1 types of wins, and he saved us. And like Fleury this year, if we didn't have Fleury, dude, I think we'd be the bottom. And Lankinen, he was decent last year, but he's not Marc-Andre Fleury. I don't think he could have stole games like Fleury did.
Yeah.
But Leonard, yes, I think he's a 1B type goalie and needs a, like an anti-Ranta type backup goalie to make him good.
Okay.
And even last year, he had Marc-Andre Fleury with him. That's an unbelievable goaltending tandem. Like, if I don't know how you screw that up. The coach, he botched it, dude. He went with Leonard, and he shouldn't have. Fleury was rock solid the whole season. He won the Vezina. I just didn't get it. And Fleury had, like, a short leash, and he pretty much ran him out of town, that coach did.
Yeah,
and
he did.
They didn't win. I mean, Leonard went in some games. He was cold. He got lit up. They put Fleury in. He wins. Then they go back to Leonard. It's like, what are you doing, dude? You got to ride the hot goalie.
You're talking like, about that AB series, yeah. Right?
I give Coach Q credit. Corey Crawford had a bad couple games against Nashville. I think it was 2015.
Yeah.
Scott Darling was awesome. You have no choice. You got to start him the next game. And yeah. Then he wins. And then he lost his net, but.
That great was in the next series, Crow. So he got through that first series, and then after that second series, Crawford took it back.
Crow took it back and won the cup.
Yeah.
And that maybe Crawford needed that wake-up call, man. It's like, hey, yeah. If I don't play, this kid's ready to go. He's going to take my job, and I'm gone. That's how scary it is for a goalie. If you have one bad playoff series, you could be done. Like, look at Detroit in the 90s. They went through so many goalies. They were short-leashed. Hasek, Osgood, Legacy, Cujo. It's like, we're riding the hot goalie. Whoever wins is going to be here next year. The next year, these guys were all over the place.
Right. So the Panthers, they won 13 straight. What's going on with them, man, other than being probably one of the favorites to win the cup?
Well, they lost tonight. Tampa sent a message. I believe it was an 8-4 win. There was a couple fights. And I just saw a little clip a couple minutes ago of some Florida Panther was fighting, and he's raising his arms to the crowd, and the crowd's going wild. And I'm just like, if I'm a Panther fan and I'm watching this guy act like a nut like that, like, dude, we just lost 8-4, and these guys have been owning us the last two seasons in the playoffs. We should be a little scared, you know? Like, we better get our shit together because this Tampa team is so experienced. But who knows, man? It's best of seven. Hopefully everybody's healthy for both. I think that's going to be the best, or if it is a matchup, it's going to be the best one. That's the one I want to watch, the Lightning in Florida.
Yeah, I'd watch that too. You know, it's really interesting because Tampa is moving off from being the most skilled team to being the most experienced team. And a lot of times, man, that experience will get you through a more talented team. Mm-hmm. So goaltenders are injured for Canes. Goaltenders in plural, as in both of them, are injured. You know, they were a favorite for the cup to make it down to at least to the Eastern Conference Finals. And now they're in serious doubt to maybe not even get out of the first round, especially with shaky goaltending. What are the Canes going to do, man?
Well, I know I followed the SurgeCast, he said they're reevaluating Anderson's injury. I believe tomorrow they're going to see what's going on with it. I don't know what the injury is, but they better all pray that he's going to be back for game one. I mean, I'd definitely rest him. You're in the playoffs. And what, 2-3 games left? Yeah, no reason to rush him. Give him some time off. Hopefully they get good news. I know Ranta's down too. You know, he's a good goalie, but he's not Anderson. But they definitely need one of these two guys to start game one. Or otherwise they're throwing up an AHL kid. And that's a lot to ask, you know, in a playoff series. You're gonna be playing against another good team.
Remember so, when
it's a shame, man. One of these three teams, Carolina, even Toronto. Carolina, Toronto, the Florida teams, they could be bounced in the first round, and they're like Stanley Cup guys. So
incredible.
It's crazy, man. It's really crazy.
Well, last year, the Panthers brought up Spencer Knight for a game, and he played really well.
He won. Yeah. He got a win.
He might be a top-tier goalie, though, too.
Well, Bob was terrible last year. He's been a different goalie this year. The games that, you know, they play, I know it's the Blackhawks, but he looked really good. He was square to the puck, making that second save even. And that's you need a hot goalie like that. When he was on the Blue Jackets, when he beat Tampa that season in the playoffs, man, he was lights out. That's what they need from him.
So this year we've got 50 goal scorers so far. Got Austin Matthews, Leon Draisaitl, Chris Kreider, and obviously Ovi hit 50 for the 7th time in his career, which is very impressive, considering, you know, a lot of guys don't even hit 50. I think that it's pretty incredible, man. Matthews could possibly hit 60 this year, which would be really cool. Who was the last person to hit 60? Was that
Stamkos?
Stamkos, yeah. I was about to say, I think Stammer was the last one to do it. He did it 2 years in a row, didn't he?
I think he only did it once.
Okay.
And then he gets hurt a lot too. He's another one of those guys. He's
I mentioned that.
Great goal scorer though. Yeah.
I mentioned that in the last podcast. I think that if he didn't get hurt and he didn't have injury issues, he'd probably be right up there with Ovi right now, to be honest with you.
Do you remember his rookie year? Barry Melrose was the coach, and I think he only got like 20 something goals, 30 goals maybe, and he goes, he's not ready for the NHL. The next year he gets 50.
Yeah.
It's like, dude, Barry, you botched that one, dude. You should go on your ESPN show and say, you know what? I was stupid. He's good. I'm just not that good of a coach. I'm an ESPN analyst.
Yeah, that's all that he is, dude. I don't think he's found any success with the coaching, has he?
No. He coached that Gretzky team when the Kings, I think they were playing the Canadians in that final. Mm. What was that, 93 or 92 or something?
Mm-hmm.
But no, they had no chance against that Canadian team.
That's incredible. So, all right, everybody, that's all that we got for you tonight. We appreciate you guys listening. We're going to keep on doing our podcast through the end of the Blackhawks season, and then we're going to turn it into a playoffs podcast so that we can give playoff coverage, because the playoffs are a great... it's great to cover it. It's cool to see what happens with the league. Kind of stay up with who the players are, who's good playoff performers, and what's going to happen with these teams going into the offseason and into the free agency, which is always fun as well. So do us a favor. Hit subscribe if you haven't yet, and we'll catch you on the next one. This is the Tomahawk, and we're out of here.